Why is passion something that is useful on the onset of a project, but not useful in the long run? And what really drives you to rise every single day? And how do you stay true to that discipline purpose? Hello, and welcome back to Stoic Spirituality, a podcast where I look through, dissect, and analyze various thoughts, quotes, and books that I've read over the last few years. My name is Jugan, and I'm a student of the human experience, trying to spread some knowledge out to the rest of the world. So over the last few episodes, we've discussed this idea of adversity, ego, and how staying present can also keep us grounded in all that we do and avoid the veil of ego. And so while presence is kind of the foundation of being able to act properly and without ego, without seeking status, what we also want to consider is kind of the mid and long term kind of subsets of our personality we need to develop and emphasize in order to be able to continue working selflessly without an attachment to outcomes. And so this episode is dedicated to showing us the idea of disciplined purpose, how disciplined purpose does give us direction. And it also ensures that we follow through. While purpose by itself may point us the way like a compass points us which direction is north, discipline is what allows us to take those, not only the first step, but the next, the 10th or 12th or 30th step that we need to take. And so combining both of these and emphasizing the discipline behind the purpose, blending Stoicism and spirituality, we're going to guide ourselves to a life full of purpose, focus, and meaning. And so the question you want to think about as we dissect this episode is, what's one purpose you've struggled to pursue consistently? And what is something that you have a lot of passion for, but can sometimes never find the energy to do in the long run? Let's find out. So in the first part of this episode, we're going to dissect some of the barriers we have to discipline purpose. And some of these we have touched on in previous episodes, but I feel like it's a good kind of drawback to and summary of some of the things that can stop us or hinder us from pursuing what we need to do in order to kind of move forward with our projects and build ourselves a better life. And so purpose by itself is a great inspiration. It's kind of a burst of motivation. But similarly to a sugar high and sugar crash, purpose only has so much energy by itself. And this is kind of built up. These barriers are built up with examples like distraction, ego, and inconsistency, all of which derail the kind of third or fourth step after purpose and passion, which is discipline. And these kinds of distractions like fear, being overwhelmed, status, self-doubt, or clutter, all of which we're going to get into over the next few minutes, disrupt our Stoic resolve, disrupt our kind of passion we once had, and replaces it with the I will do this at a certain point, or I will do this like tomorrow, which will never happen. And the very nature of procrastination, even though you have passion and purpose, can be nullified by these distractions, which we'll discuss and dissect. So primarily is instant results. Think of it in terms of something monetary like stocks or investments. When we invest into the stock market, majority of us rather, for financial kind of freedom, and for instance our 401ks and retirements, we do not invest into that market for instant results. We do not invest so that tomorrow we can withdraw all of our cash and be like $1,000 richer per se. There are professions that do that, but they are generally kind of on the fringe end of the professions people do. More often than not, we have ourselves a job and we have our financial piece of us that kind of runs by itself. However, what we sometimes do is we like to seek instant results. We want to know immediately what has to happen for us, or like the kind of best thing has to happen tomorrow. And so the very nature of disciplined purpose is that these kinds of things do not unfold immediately. They unfold over time. However, our instant gratification mind that has been tuned by social media seeks the kind of dopamine hit and the results of all of our progress immediately, like snapping our fingers. And that, as soon as we don't get this kind of immediate result, our discipline, our purpose seems like it crumbles. immediately. The next thing is recognition. A lot of us like to do things for multifaceted purposes. And one of the primary purposes a lot of us like taking certain actions is recognition. Recognition is good in doses, from my perspective. I think that recognition allows you to grow, allows you to be seen by people who have power to make change in your life and raise you up to promote you to become someone better than you were yesterday in terms of title and position. However, ego craves it. It thrives off it. It requires it as a constant necessity to all the work that is done. And what this ends up doing is not only does it distract you and shift you from working for the sake of working to working for the sake of status, it also dissolves as soon as recognition is not given. So say you work on a project, you complete it, and you want recognition from, say, 10 stakeholders for your work, and you only get it from 5. All of that work and the amount of time you put into it will kind of dissolve in front of your eyes because you did work for the sake of everyone recognizing it and for the sake of you being uplifted. And while this is a good motive to have, especially for career advancement, using that as a primary stake will dissolve the kind of discipline that your purpose requires. For instance, a lot of projects, a lot of things you want to do for your life may it be reading or may it be entrepreneurial instincts or entrepreneurial like kind of endeavors. Never will have people kind of cheering you on the side more than like the perfunctory like words of affirmation or kind of say like, oh, this is cool, like this is awesome, I like that you're doing this. And all of this never really contributes anything to the actual work you're doing. So by putting your entire kind of being or all the work you're doing based on everyone else's validation, not only is it an unsustainable model, it also replaces the purpose behind what you're doing from the purpose of duty to status. And so not only does instant results and recognition kind of curb and curtail our ability to be purposefully disciplined, quite ironically, overwhelm or having too many things from too many different places can scatter our effort. So one of my favorite diagrams that I have from the book Essentialism is that, say you have, imagine this in your head. So you say you have a big circle and you have, say, like 10 arrows you can use, and you can draw back a bow to release this arrow. So you can either release 10 arrows at once that do 1/10, that you can spend 1/10 of the time releasing, or you can take one arrow you can release with all of your maximum force and all of your maximum goal. While not the best imagery, what essentialism kind of tries to tell us is that while it is useful and excellent to have multiple purposes and to work towards these, ensuring that you have a limited amount of purposes you're focusing on, enough that you do not allow yourself to get overwhelmed by the idea of all of these 10, 12 different things you want to do, and thereby using ego to kind of curb the gaps that you're not actually completing, may it be like by speaking so much about the work you're going to do that you now don't actually do it, you kind of cripple your purpose and your discipline that is required. So what you want to do is kind of curtail it to just a couple goals, single tasks, that do not take up so much of our time planning and give us time to actually do things. And so beyond recognition, overwhelming, and instant results, one of the primary kind of disablers of disciplined purpose is fear, particularly fear of failure. So think of the last time that you wanted to do something, but you held yourself back because you were afraid that you were going to fail and you were not going to be able to succeed in what you wanted to do. It could be anything as simple as volunteering for an opportunity. It could be anything as simple as refusing to take the first step in an entrepreneurial pursuit. Our fear of failure has a very profound effect on our ability to actually act because it creates this cloud of mist, this cloud of possibilities of what if this goes wrong, what if this happens, what if that happens. And disciplined purpose takes a look at that and is like, that's okay. Failure is okay. It is a part of life. To avoid failure is to avoid life itself. However, what fear of failure does is that it stalls our committed action. Because we can be like, oh, I'm not in the right mindset. Oh, the wheels of the plane haven't touched on completely. So we need to think and wait and plan and consider again and again and again. And what ends up happening is months and years pass while you're still, quote unquote, considering, and you have lost all that time that you could have dedicated towards your purpose. And so dipping away from kind of like, quote unquote, like worldly fear and recognition, our attachment to outcomes also has a very profound effect on our purpose. Because tying back to this instant results point that we mentioned in the beginning, when we're so focused on the idea of results and what we want out of everything for all that we do, when things don't go our way, as they will not go our way a lot of times, then all we do is we watch the wind go out of our sails, we lose all of our purpose, and we feel no desire to do anything. Because we have been so attached to everything panning out in a specific way, as soon as it doesn't, all the work we put in, all the work we want to put in, kind of dissolves and feels kind of unworthy. And all this clouds our purpose too. May it be external validation. It distracts us from the inner purpose that we want to do. So in mastery, there's this idea of a life's task. And our life's task is that our DNA, being as unique as it is, attunes us to having certain interests and certain kind of things we're better at than other people, and certain tasks we feel that we would be more competent in than other people as well. And what we end up doing is that we kind of replace all of this inner purpose, this inner kind of naturalistic qualities in a certain field, with external validation, with this recognition. And we shift our focus from our inner kind of scorecard to an external scorecard based on everyone else's validation. And as you know, people's validation depends on them. Depends on their mood in the current day, or what they're thinking about, or what they're going through. And why would you want to give up your control of your own mind to someone else? Why would you want to give up control of your happiness and your, like, mood to someone else's mood or validation? And these kind of are all things that chip away at our willingness to be purposeful and disciplined in all that we do. Multitasking, a lack of routine, self-doubt, chasing trends, and clutter. And so the way I want to kind of structure our three barriers, that they kind of go into three categories: our fears, our attachment to the results, and our external validation seeking. Our fears cause us to kind of stop what we're doing and reconsider why we're doing what you're doing, and constantly create this kind of self-doubt inside of ourselves. The recognition and validation we seek shifts us away from the inner purpose we want to have and moves us more toward seeking things because everyone else thinks they're good, kind of following the herd and losing track of what we actually wanted to build and accomplish in our lives. And clutter, contrary to popular belief, where it may feel like you're doing a lot when you have a lot of things on your plate, you're really not doing as much because you're so overwhelmed by all the things you want to do that you don't actually do anything. So these fears, the external validation, and our overwhelm chips away at our willingness to do anything and puts a cloud over the purpose you want to actually accomplish. And so while this may seem like a large mountain to kind of climb over, a lot of solutions to these kinds of clouds that we see, maybe fear, recognition, or overwhelm, are relatively simple. Because discipline purpose has been something that many philosophers, many authors, many people have spoken at lengths about. It's a stoic spiritual practice of aligning all of our actions with what our inner purpose is, realigning ourselves to work toward that inner purpose, and working towards duty and meaning, using focus and resilience to stay true to what we really want to do. This involves single tasking, selflessness, deep work, doing things for the sake of doing them, and curtailing our ego, which I'll get into over the next few minutes. So, contrary to the overwhelm that we discussed in the previous section, one way to ensure that you master your discipline purpose is defining a single clear purpose to guide your daily actions. Waking up every single day and telling yourself, I will accomplish this thing today. Or I will work toward this piece today. Sometimes it can be as simple as becoming 1 to 5% better every single day. It can be as simple as that. And that could involve going to the gym. It could involve working on a project you want to do. But instead of sitting here like being paralyzed by all the things you want to do, by defining this purpose and defining actions that are clear to building out this purpose, we will fulfill our daily actions and our daily requirements. This does not mean sitting there paralyzed, thinking about everything you have to do, but actually doing it. And one important thing is, the more full our plate is, the more easy it is to get paralyzed. So the important piece is by chipping away at our plate day by day, we allow ourselves to not have any sort of kind of issues that pull away at our daily actions. Like chewing away at the plate that is in front of us, we define a single clear purpose and we know how to act and move forward. And so how this also can work is by building routines. So from Atomic Habits or The Power of Habit, some of the clear insights that we have is that we have kind of two brains in our head. We have our automatic brain and we have our reflective thinking, critical thinking brain. And the thing is, our left brain, or like the first brain rather, which is the automatic reflexive brain, is usually more in control than the secondary brain. And so by building up habits and routines, we can work toward our purpose, work toward our duties, and get our necessary things done. Thinking and reflection is important, but with that comes the potential for paralysis. So by building routines and building habits, you can chew away at the plate that lies in front of you of your daily actions. The next thing is, a lot of paralysis and a lack of disciplined purpose comes when we only act in our own interest a lot of the time. Because we sit here being like, I need to do this and this and this and this and this. But simply by acting selflessly and serving others and attuning our purpose to include that, we give ourselves time to do something for someone that is not us. Do something that has the ability to dissolve and chip away at our ego. Do something for the sake of doing something. Giving up our time and our money to things that directly benefit us, but help other people. And by serving others, you chip away at your ego and your self-doubt and your fear, and you act selflessly. The next piece is challenges, and this kind of counters our fear of failure. So a lot of our fears that we discussed in previous episodes is based on this idea of adversity, that, oh no, some kind of boulder is going to come on our path and like stop us from working and being able to do what we need to do. However, by kind of doing something that Stoics called premeditatum malorum, which is kind of premeditated understandings or pre-kind of like visualizations of the negative things that will happen, we can embrace challenges as a part of our path and understand that our purpose should kind of overcome and be larger than any challenges that come in our way. Ego seems very powerful, but if you look around it, it's just a flimsy piece of paper. So by avoiding this fear of failure, by embracing and understanding and knowing that adversity is going to be a constant part of our lives, we can embrace challenges and make accounts for and work past challenges to define and work towards a purpose. And similarly, cultivating mindfulness, being present in the moment that we discussed in the last episode, is super important to mastering discipline purpose. Finding joy in the little things, in the small purposeful things you do every single day, and prioritizing the letting go of ego in all that we do. This can come through doing deep work. This can come through early rising to dedicate time to your purpose. And this can primarily come also from reflection daily on your alignment with your purpose. And this journey will create a lot of setbacks, a lot of adversity, a lot of fears. But in order to go on this quest for mastery, you must accept all of these things that come our way and still persevere and still push through and still look at these barriers and tell them that they do not define you. I am an indistractable person that will not be deterred from my true purpose. And I will rather work through step by step, defining a clear purpose, working through, chewing away at my daily plate, acting selflessly, letting go of the ego's need for recognition and applause, pushing past the fear of failure, embracing the adversity that is going to come upon our way, and we'll work toward mastering discipline and purpose. And this is something that I too still struggle with and I'm still working toward. Because the barriers, while you can know the right thing to do, the right thing to say, it is not an easy process. It is a journey, not a destination. And by continually battering away at these negative thoughts, these negative events, these negative encounters that come upon us, and by constantly keeping our ego in check and ensuring that it doesn't shift away from duty to status seeking, we can take the next step in the right direction. So a few kind of actionable outcomes or actionable items you can do by learning about discipline purpose is one, simply writing your purpose. Ikigai talks about the four Venn diagrams that intersect into a purpose. So maybe crafting a one-sentence mission statement as to what you want to base a lot of your life or the rest of your life on is super, super impactful because it gives you a center point, it gives you a North Star, it gives you a compass that you can regulate and create a lot of your actions on in the future. The next thing is simply setting a routine. If there's a few self-care items that will help you have a good start to your day, set those up. Set up a routine. May it be going to the gym. May it be like self-care, skincare. Set up these routines and give yourself a good start to your day. Next is simplify your goals and declutter. A lot of our kind of mental pressure that comes on our head not only is a result of our environment being unclean, may it be our rooms or our living spaces, but it's also our mind being cluttered with so many things we need to do, so many ideas we need to accomplish. Simply by simplifying our goals to be much more concrete, workable, and less in quantity, we can focus on singular priorities and work toward bettering ourselves one step at a time. And finally, by serving others, by performing one selfless act that may or may not be tied to your purpose, will give you the ability to step back from your ego, consider service of others as an important facet of your life, and will realign your purpose in all that you do. So maybe try one of these steps, and maybe leave a comment on one of my Instagram videos or TikTok videos on Stoic Spirituality or YouTube Shorts. And feel free to drop me a follow on this podcast, whichever platform you're listening to this on. And join me in our next episode as we explore courage in action and our ability to face fears with our resolve. Thanks so much for listening, and see you guys next time.